You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm John Herlig. 3 years ago, in a boatyard in Reedville, Virginia, in the United States, I came across an old, sun-bleached boat named Ave Del Mar. I learned that long before she became mine, she had sailed around the world. She's been through the Panama and Suez canals, has cruised in the sunny Mediterranean, and has rounded the infamous Cape Horn. Now she's begun a new journey with me. This is Postcards from Sea, and this is where I share stories of the people and places I encounter as Ave Del Mar and I sail the world together. Say what you want now. Time goes forward. Go and catch your jet. You will find your moment. Time goes forward. Stay and have a sleep. Let's dream about the future. Welcome to Postcards from Sea. I'm John Herlig. I am recording right now at Anchor in Port Antonio, Jamaica, in the midst of a little squall that's blowing over. And my friend and soon-to-be former buddy boater, Aldo, has dragged about a half a mile across the anchorage, so I'm sure I sound sleepy. And just about 3 o'clock in the morning, it started raining and blowing. By 4, it had picked up to maybe mid-20s with some gusts up into the 30s. And Aldo let loose. So you're welcome to listen in while the neighbors and I try and raise him. He has not been responding on the radio. We're going to see if maybe we can dig him up. Still free. Aldo, are you awake? I think that his handheld VHF, has a rather short battery life, and that impacts him somewhat. So I don't think his handheld's on. He tends, none of us tend to leave the big radio on at night because they suck up a lot of electricity. My boat's rolling around, things are clunking, and it's one thing when you're out at sea, you actually stow everything so that when the boat's, whoops, there goes a spoon. When the boat's technically rolling, what we might call rocking side to side, that things don't go flying. But at anchor, you get kind of lazy and you just think you're in a floating apartment. You start leaving stuff lying around. So, we're whipping around pretty good. I hadn't known that Aldo was drifting, that his anchor had dragged until my neighbors aboard Good Run, I heard them on the radio trying to call him. So I answered them to find out if they were okay, and they told me that Aldo had dragged. So, it's part of the joy of being at anchor. I'm going to turn this radio off and go back to the handheld. Because Aldo's either sleeping through his radio, or more realistically, it's probably just not on. So, you know, it's funny, I've been in Port Antonio, Jamaica for, God, to answer that, I have to know what day it is, for almost 2 weeks, a week in the marina and a week at anchor, and it has rained almost every day since I have been here. It's just kind of funny, because I feel like that's not what you expect. You know, it's not what the Department of Tourism shows you in the Jamaica TV commercials. I don't know if it's island-wide, and we just happen to have hit it during the rainy season, or if we're just in a particular spot where, as the weather rolls west across the Caribbean, it hits those Blue Mountains, and funny things happen to the rain clouds, and rain starts pouring out. Not really sure. It's a pretty cool little town. Don't know how many people live in Port Jamaica. Port Jamaica, Port Antonio. See, you're not supposed to do podcasts at 5 o'clock in the morning. This is not how this is supposed to be. Another interesting thing that we keep commenting on is something is knocking around on the outside of my boat. Hang on while I look out. I'm going to guess that that's my dinghy, which is locked to my boat, but is in fact afloat. Because when the storm rolls through, all the boats kind of swing in an arc back and forth. So sometimes when you reverse direction and you have a hard fiberglass dinghy like mine, when the big boat switches direction, the little dinghy wraps around the side and kind of knocks up against your hull. And that, I think, is what that clunking sound is. Although if it happens again or much more or much worse, I might have to go outside in the rain and see what's going on. It's just been rainy, which is okay. It's a pretty cool little town. It feels gritty, the town. I know one of the reviews I was reading online called it, a bit frayed around the edges or maybe a bit tired. And I think those are not necessarily untrue. But the thing is, it's just a remarkably... friendly town. More noises outside. Let's see what that one was. Alright, stand by. We're going to go do a little investigation. Alright, I'm back. Storm has picked up a little bit. I am really, really glad that I'm not out sailing in this right now. That's sound, in fact, was an empty diesel jerry can, which was just loose on my foredeck because I was moving everything around because one day it didn't rain, so I was sanding the cap rails on the side of my boat and doing some varnishing, and so all the things that are normally tied to the side kind of got clumped together in the center, and one of those was blowing around. So the sun is starting to come up. Can't see it, but it's not completely dark outside anymore. And woo! My goodness, we are roly. And I can, at least now that it's light, I can see my friend Aldo's boat. Maybe a quarter mile astern of me, which means he's drifted a good half mile. He looks okay, but I would feel much better if he would wake up and answer the radio so I can make sure that he's not hitting bottom. But I can't imagine he's taken on crew to sail to Panama from here, Jamaica. And I can't imagine that he and the crew would both sleep through the boat being bottomed out. Because especially in a storm like this or in any kind of wave action, if the bottom of your keel's hitting the bottom, it makes a pretty bad sound. It's very not pleasant to listen to. And although I've never tried to sleep through it, I would have to imagine it's pretty doggone difficult to sleep through. So, anyway, we will... this is funny. I'm not used to having to hold on quite this hard when I'm not sailing. Something else rolling around back there. You know, being at anchor, I think, I was going to say you get lazy. You don't get lazy, but you get disengaged a little from the weather and the sea, because the weather and the sea, it all has to be more substantial to make a difference to you. You're so sort of not immune to, but protected from the lower grade variations in wind direction, waves. You're in a protected anchorage. You know, the only way we're going to get real bad wave action is if the storm's coming out of the due north. This is just not the time of year when that really happens. So I guess you get a little complacent. And then something like this happens and, you know, things are falling and rattling and rolling around. And I always treated that as a nice little reminder from Mother Nature and or Neptune that I still need to focus every day, even at anchor, even being safe. I got to make sure I'm safe when I'm safe. Just being safe doesn't necessarily mean that nothing's going to happen. So, Jamaica was the destination for that 51-hour sail from Illovach, Haiti. And that was the one when my autopilot died. I had a soft tailwind, which means that as the boat moved, your apparent wind, as it feels to you, is even lower. So the wind vane wasn't steering well. And the winch fell off my mast, so I couldn't heave to. This was the destination on the trip when I did not sleep for 2 days, and I was hallucinating in the cockpit the second night, and all that good fun stuff. It's been a good spot to be. I think I was talking about the town a couple of minutes ago. It's kind of, like I said, a little rough around the edges. You know, there's homeless people and drunk people, and I'm pretty sure at least half of this country is stoned 24 hours a day. But as you walk through the town, you know, it doesn't feel dangerous at all. No one looks at you threateningly. The worst you get is maybe a person or two who might ask you for money or food. But that is literally just a person or two in a town of thousands. Off the top of my head, there's got to be 20,000 people in and around this town, if not more. I might have just dramatically underestimated. But it's certainly not a tiny little, like, fishing enclave. It's a real city, town. But everyone's so nice. The Rasta guys, you know, even if you just give them a nod and a hey when you're walking by, always give you a yaman, and then so many of them actually talk to you. You know, you just say, hey, how are you? And the answer to everything is yaman. It sounds cliched. Like you're back home trying to impress people that you were in Jamaica, so you're going to say yaman, but it's what they all say to everything. You bump into someone on the sidewalk, I say excuse me, they say yaman. It's what it is. Anyway, but some of those Rasta guys, just from nowhere, you're walking by them on the sidewalk, little exchange like that, and they talk to you, like ask you a question. And I don't mean like, hey, you're a foreigner, let me talk to you and pick your brain. I mean, they just say, you know, how's your day going? And however they say it, I'm not attempting to do the accent, obviously. But, you know, something. Or they'll look at you and say, you know, I feel really blessed, I this, I that. And they tell you a little story, and then they ask about you. And it's really interesting because regardless where you fit into the social fabric back home, it would be very unusual for a stranger on the streets to just kind of stop and have a 20-second real, sincere, intense exchange. I love that about them. They do walk around town with plastic bags full of marijuana. It's hysterical. It is pervasive, except for the one food stand that's got the big sign up that says no ganja smoking. I don't really know where that came from. As I told my sister, I think it has to be the only place on the entire island. So the storm does not appear to be going away. I have cell coverage where I am here, which is a fascinating part of traveling the world in 2017. It's so easy to get a SIM card and get connected everywhere you go. I do not typically check the weather from my cell phone. I think I might pull up a radar image to kind of see what this is doing. So I'm working my way up to a break here. We're going to take this break. Meanwhile, I'm going to turn on my radar. No, I'm not going to turn on the boat's radar. I'm going to look at the radar on my phone, see if I can figure out how big and how long this storm is supposed to be, how long it's supposed to last, and we'll be back in a minute.
Bonnie Las Charters is Mallorca's number one experience.
Bonnie Las is a 57-foot converted fishing boat. She was built in 1949 as a herring ring netter in Scotland, and now she's set up for the Mediterranean. Apart from just relaxing in the sunshine on the deck, there's paddleboarding and any kind of exploring you can imagine up along the north coast of Mallorca here, quite often with Maggie the dog in tow as well. Bonnie Las Charters is unique because no charter is really the same. We work really hard to make it the perfect day for each individual client. to be able to go out and enjoy the day with the guests on board is just fantastic.
For more information and to make a booking, visit bonnylasscharters.com.
Welcome back to Postcards from Sea. I'm John Herlig. And during that break, I was out taking care of business, checking my anchor line, fending myself off from a gigantic Norwegian-flagged catch, a steel-hold catch nonetheless, which anchored way too close to me a couple of days ago. And as sometimes happens in storms, all the boats were sort of willy-nilly in the anchorage. For the most part, we've all been in the same direction. But there was a period when there's not really much current here. I don't know if the winds, what they were, I don't know what happened. But all of a sudden, all the boats were not in agreement about what direction they were supposed to be facing. And the 50-foot steel hold catch and I were stern to stern and about to hit, but we managed to not. Had my engine on and kind of motored out of the way a little bit. I actually broke out my foul weather gear. Well, not the whole gear, but my coat. Because I tell you, it's windy enough and rainy enough that after a bit of time out there, my teeth were chattering. And it's not really that chilly. But yeah, I don't think I've worn that foul weather coat since an electrical storm back in North Florida like a year and a half ago. It's been a while. Aldo, it did drag about a half a mile or so, but is okay. He's in 12 feet of water. Finally responded to a radio call. He looks okay. Said he put out a second anchor. And that's all that matters, was that he stopped dragging anchor in time, or caught it in time to get another anchor out and get himself re-anchored before he got into shallow water where he might get some damage done to the boat. So that's the storm update. The water, I was trying to decide how to describe the color of the water. So when the water here in Jamaica is clear and clean, not as clean as the Bahamas. There's nothing on the planet outside of a swimming pool that looks like that Bahamian water. But very good, clear, clean, beautiful Caribbean water down here until it rains. And of course, when it rains, and this is mountainous country, and I don't think they have a very sophisticated storm water runoff management system. That's not a dig against Jamaica. I'm just saying I don't think it's there. And so when it rains, all the water that comes off of the land turns the bay really muddy just so quickly. So it's kind of the color of maybe a cafe mocha or a chai tea latte or something. It's murky and brownish and, yeah, from nowhere. So all the boats are facing the same direction again. It is still raining and blowing. Kind of wish I had a working anemometer. Whoops. As things continue to fall on the boat. The winds have certainly not increased from before, but nor have they really fallen off. A couple of times it sort of lightened up, and I thought, okay, the storm's over, and then it just sort of roared back and blew as much as ever. It is pretty lively. My dinghy is swamped. Poor Margot. The dinghy is out there in the water, full of water. Luckily, she is, for the most part, unsinkable. She can completely swamp and will stay afloat. I haven't bothered to bail her out because it's raining so hard. She's just going to fill up again in a minute anyway, and there will be no less water to bail out later. Okay, I'm going to try to sit down. I've been on watch, watching the steel catch. Fair winds is the name of that boat. I saw one of the crew members. He was outside. Let me see if I can sit down without falling over. One of the crew members was on deck dumping out buckets, which I don't know, they must have a water maker, because those of us without water makers would never dump out a bucket of fresh rainwater. But one of the crew members was out on deck when we were sort of stern to stern, and he's like, "Were we this close before?" I said, "Well, we were facing the same direction before, you know, you guys been a little close the whole time you've been here." He's like, "Well, I'll wake the captain in a little bit." And I'm thinking, if our boats are close to bumping, You know, maybe now is a good time to wake the captain. I don't understand this in a little bit part. Not really sure where that came from. So, I have to pop up every couple of seconds and poke my head out the port light and make sure that the Norwegian dark blue ketch is where she's supposed to be. I don't know, there's something intimidating about steel-hulled boats. A, I would never want one. And B, man, they just look lethal. It's like you're anchored next to a floating tank. They're just brutal. So, what else is going on? I'm in Jamaica, preparing to head back to the States. Not because the journey's over, but because the journey needs to continue. I'm taking on some crew, I hope, for the trip home. It will be really nice to have another set of hands on the boat to take watches so that everyone can actually sleep. You know, two sets of hands if something's going wrong, deploying sails. All of it. I really never had the luxury of extended cruising with any crew. I did sail with my friend Chris from West Palm Beach, Florida, down to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on a sail that I keep asking myself if now, having sailed so much more than I had then, especially, well, that was near shore, but you're still, you know, you're outside, you're not in the intracoastal. I keep wondering what this John now would have done during that trip. Would I have kept going when the winds turned and it got a little rough? Would I have, if it was happening now, would I just turn around and say, no, we're going back, screw this? I don't really know. It's a fascinating thing to think about. There's really no definitive answer. Yeah, getting ready to go back. I put an ad on Cruisers Forum for crew and have, I got a number of responses, one of which I really liked. I also have a friend in the States who has expressed an interest in going, so I'm not sure which of those two it's going to be. It will most probably be just one or the other, not both. I don't know if I can handle going from years of only single-handing to having three people on the boat, none of whom, you know, really know each other. I'm not sure how keen on that I am, so chances are it'll just be one or the other, and I figure that within a week or so it'll sort of start to make clear sense which of those two it should be. And then I think I'll leave Port Antonio, and if I've got crew and the weather's good, I might sail straight up to Key West. And when I say straight, it's certainly by no means straight, but as in directly, not clearing into the Bahamas. If there's a bunch of dead air and I have to do a bunch of motoring or motor sailing and need to take on fuel, then I suppose it's possible I would have to clear into the Bahamas just to take on fuel. But, God, that sounds like a lousy idea to pay $150 to clear in the boat so I can spend money on fuel and then leave the same day. Doesn't sound ideal, so we'll have to see if maybe we can get out of here with enough fuel on board. And keep our motoring down enough. I'm like every other sailor. I don't want a motor. Then again, you know, I can't go north in the Windward Passage if the winds are from the north and beating down. So I gotta wait for either favorable winds or no winds to go on a route that is quite frequently against the weather. So if there's no wind, that means motoring, and it's okay. Much like my first crossing from Miami into the Bahamas, it's one of those things you have to get through. And if getting through it means waiting until there's no wind and motoring the whole way, then you suck it up. You don't worry about false pride. You don't have to prove to anyone that you can sail, crank the motor on, and get through. I have much admiration for the people who sail without motors. I'm not one of them. Who knows, maybe someday I will be. Hopefully, if I ever am, it'll be by choice, not because my engine died. But the point is, you've got assets on the boat. You're not any less of a sailor if you use that engine to get through a stretch that otherwise you're not going to be able to comfortably or safely, really, more, get through. So we'll have to look into that. But it would be pretty much from Port Antonio, Jamaica, which is on the northeast corner of this sort of oblong island of Jamaica. And then northeast from here, I don't remember off the top of my head, something around 55 or 60 degrees bearing from here. It takes us up towards Great Inagua and back through the Windward Passage. And outside of storms like today's and, you know, doldrums that could, you know, area mid segments of no wind at all being becalmed. It's not technically the doldrums up there. But outside of those unique situations, we should statistically be going in the right direction with both wind and current to swing west on the north side of Cuba, but south underneath the Bahamas, and swing up to the Florida Keys and hit Key West. Now, I will confess, I am not the world's biggest Key West fan. I realize that's not going to make me many friends. And if anyone listening doesn't know what Key West is, I'll just say Google it. You know, the southernmost spot in the arguably contiguous United States, islands down off the south tip of Florida, Key West being the last of them. And it's just sort of a boating, fishing, alcoholics heaven of debauchery. And I don't really, how do you describe the Keys? Anyway, the Keys have never been a huge thing for me, but I like this sailing route a lot. My friend Chris from West Palm had said that if I sail from here to Key West, that he'll come down to Key West, meet me there. We can hang out for a couple of days in Key West, and then he'll help me sail back up to West Palm from there. Now, if there's a person on the planet that would be willing to make me want to do Key West, Chris Pruitt would be one of those people. He knows the town, and he and I just work right together. We're going to want to go to the same places and do the same things. And that just sounds too good to pass up. So right now, it's looking like the route is going to be, as I said, above Cuba, under the Bahamas, hoping to do it direct, and trying to keep a bunch of dump-out points along the way where if there are boat issues, weather issues, crew issues, whatever it may be along the way, that there are spots. It's always really important to me to have those where I can bail out and get to an anchorage, hopefully a well-protected one, but at least a viable anchorage if continuing on is not good. So between here and the Great Inagua, which would be the first Bahamian island, there are a couple of spots in Haiti where I could bail out if I had to. Not planning to go to Cuba just because of red tape and the expense. There certainly are still a number of Bahamian islands that in an emergency I could cut into for fuel repairs, rest, whatever it may be. So that's your storm update from Port Antonio. I think I'm up on another break. I will come back in a minute and kind of talk about the process of going through and looking for crew and what I'm doing, and we'll be right back.
Our aim at Street Invest is to put a trustworthy adult into the lives of street children so that they can support them in creating the most positive paths for their lives in the future. We work around the world, working on the street with the children where they are. For such a large group of children, the amount of funding available is tiny. Really, the funding that keeps organisations like Street Invest going comes from individual donors. Street children are the most abused, neglected, violated children, yet they are also the most resourceful, responsive, and resilient children that we could have the honour of working with.
For more information or to make a donation, visit streetinvest.org.
Welcome back to Postcards from Sea. I'm John Hurlig. staring out the port light at the Norwegian steel hold catch. Haven't heard from the captain on the radio. Haven't seen the captain staring out from his boat. I don't think that's how you do it. Especially if you're the one that comes in days later, you anchor too close to someone else, which we have all done. Sometimes it just doesn't set the way you expect it to, or you don't fall off of your anchor the way you expect to. And there's no failure in that. That's a part of what happens in boating. But when you're the last guy in, you know, the boat that was there before you, if you two are too close, it's clearly because you anchored too close. You know, and taking into account that we're not always all going to lie in the same direction and be perfectly in unison is a part of what you have to do at anchor. So him being too close doesn't, none of it makes me mad, but the part that's mildly frustrating, like I said, is that I haven't seen him or heard from him. If I were the second boat in, especially if I was, as I am always, single-handing, and re-anchoring is a tough, tough thing when you're single-handing in a storm, is to make yourself known. Call the other boat. Just get them on the radio and say, hey, you know, this is on me. I'm the one that came in last. I will keep my boat from hitting your boat. I'm sorry I'm too close. Call me on 16 if you need anything. Whatever it is, it's just a gesture. But I guess that's just kind of me with the world in general. I expect or hope for, aspire to offer and hope to receive gestures like that. It's just a communication thing. You know, I can see land from here. I could swim to shore, and I'm not the world's strongest swimmer. I wouldn't die. But that doesn't mean you can't have a pretty flippin' miserable day with boats knocking into each other. And if my boat sank right here and I had to swim to shore, I don't really think I'd call that a good day. So, the point is, it's not life-threatening, but it's still a real thing. And, you know, like I said, I'm a big believer that you make yourself seen and heard. Stand up, say, you know, and if you don't think it's your fault, say, I don't know if this is you or me. Why are we going in different directions? Are you up? Let's keep an eye. Call me if you think we're too close. Whatever it is, you just got to offer yourself up and be involved in boats not hitting. Boats not hitting is kind of always the goal, not to hit other boats and not to hit other things. But, say lovey, I'll stop preaching. So, as I wrap this episode up, I might be a little distracted by constantly staring out the port light, trying to make sure that the 20-ton Fairwinds and I do not collide. So, I was talking earlier about my crew. I got a guy, I ran an ad, as I said, on Cruisers Forum, which is an internet forum where one of the more popular of them, where sailors and boaters in general ask questions, answer questions, get advice, buy boats, sell boats, all those things. Mostly they argue about systems, what kind of batteries, right? Like to tell each other that they're always wrong. But I put an ad on there under Crew Wanted and got a number of responses. One guy who lives up in New Hampshire, who's retired Air Force, just like my cousin Scott, who is in the process of renovating some property that he owns. He's going to sell one and use those funds to buy a boat and go sail around. And I guess he's got a little condo or something that he'll keep and rent out. Not dramatically different than what I did, except I didn't have anything to sell to buy the boat. So that impacted, obviously, the funds I had available for the boat and for fixing the boat. But still, anyway, pretty similar. And he wants to get some experience. So the ad that I placed just basically said that I was looking to go from Jamaica to South Florida in late May. It might end up being early June, but and then the bulk of the ad was really not about boats and sailing. I did offer a little bit of insight as to what kind of boat I have, how old it is, what condition I think it's in, what's good, what's bad, some links to a photo album about the boat. I got to shut this companionway real quick. I'm getting rained on again. It refuses to stop raining. Although it's very nice. If I wasn't worried about the stupid catch, I would enjoy this rain a lot more. The storm element of it seems to have calmed down some. But a lot of my ad was just about trying to keep small-minded, hateful people off of my boat. And I got a comment or two about the ad being a very good one, and then I had some input from friends who were like, you didn't offer a lot of details. And to me, you know, the details were so numerous, so deep, so intense, and so subject to change until you get a weather window and have an absolute route planned, or at least a route that you're trying to plan. The details are so many and so subject to change that to try to squeeze them all in the ad didn't really make sense to me. So I spent the bulk of that posting trying to attract good people, young, old, male, female, whatever they might be, just get me a happy, cooperative, eager person with some good energy to come on the boat and help me sail to Florida. Everything will be good. So hoping that this will work out, and I expect it'll work out either with my friend from DC, who's currently in Miami, or this gentleman from the internet ad. And then within the next couple of weeks or so, anchors up from Jamaica and head back to Florida. I have certainly never done a passage with crew. I've never done a passage anything remotely as long as from here to South Florida, which is, let's say, maybe a week and a half of sailing, depending on what the wind's doing. You could do it in a week if you had good winds the whole way, and if you motored when you didn't have winds. Maybe a week and a half if you're a little less keen to put the engine on. Maybe 2 weeks if you end up adrift and becalmed for a few days, which certainly could happen. Once you round that northeast tip of Cuba, not only are the trades behind you, but the currents also not Gulf Stream level, but it's helping push you towards South Florida and the Keys, which is a good thing. So I need to wrap up repairs of my diesel tank, which I have already started. I got some 5-gallon jerry cans that I've got fuel coming out of the fuel tank into the jerry cans, out of the jerry cans into the filter. So if the particulate is coming out, it will go into the jerry can and settle, not get into the filters. And I've completely eliminated the old problem that way, which was where the engine was having a hard time sucking the fuel out of the tank, because the tank will just feed the jerry can and the fuel is getting sucked out of the jerry can. With 5 gallons of fuel in a jerry can, I've got the better part of 9 hours or so of motoring available to me from just that. So even if it clogs up coming out of the tank, I got plenty of time to deal with it casually. So I need to wrap that up. I've repaired two winches. Well, repaired one winch and replaced one winch on the side of the mast. So that's all taken care of. I got a brand new autopilot, tiller pilot, as they are, I guess, technically called, shipped in. That was a debacle that I'll talk about in another episode after I am out of Jamaican territorial waters. And I don't really want to tell that story while I'm still anchored here and flying their flag. But it worked well, and I didn't break any laws, and I got a new tiller pilot with some help from some pretty special people. So we're good. If I'm going to have crew, I need to stop a couple of leaks. There's two berths available for crew to sleep in, and they both have leaks over them when it rains. I'm aware of that and eager to get them fixed, but to fix the damn leaks, it's got to stop raining for a day or two. I can't fix them when rain's coming in. So, well, we'll see if we can get that squared away. Other than that, it'll just be provision, fuel up, and get going. So I'm going to enjoy my time in Jamaica while I'm still here. I really like this little town. It's kind of gritty, but safe. And that's pretty damn John. I like gritty but safe. That kind of makes me happy. The people are in their own way happy in the town. So that's good. It's a lot of life. Sometimes it's noisy. Sometimes it's dirty. But it is pretty enjoyable. So winds are back up a little bit. We're kind of blowing around here some. I'm going to wrap up and watch the rain fall. And I hope to have a new episode up sooner rather than later. So thanks to everyone for listening. Thank you, Mike McDowell and Boat Radio, for hosting the show. Thanks to De Imperfection for that awesome theme song. I'll be back in a couple of weeks or so with a new episode, and I love you all for listening. Thanks so much. Until next time, be well and be happy.
Bonnie Las Charters is Mallorca's number one experience.
Bonnie Las is a 57-foot converted fishing boat. She was built in 1949 as a herring ring netter in Scotland, and now she's set up for the Mediterranean. Apart from just relaxing in the sunshine on the deck, there's paddleboarding and any kind of exploring you can imagine up along the north coast of Mallorca here, quite often with Maggie the dog in tow as well. Bonnie Las Charters is unique because no charter is really the same. We work really hard to make it the perfect day for each individual client. To be able to go out and enjoy the day with the guests on board is just fantastic.
For more information and to make a booking, visit bonnielascharters.com.
You've got no time to be true to yourself.